Hello, and welcome to Sex, Psychics, and Psychedelics, Discovering Inner Liberation. My name is Banana Jane Garnett. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, a lover of freedom, and a relentless explorer of the mind. Please come join me on my journey in hot pursuit of inner illumination and liberation. For more about me, you can find me at The Banana Jane on Instagram. Now let's dive in. My next guest is a medicine woman called Mary, who is the founder of Anamkara. Anamkara is a phrase that refers to the Celtic concept of the soul friend in religion and spirituality. Mary's mission at Anamkara is to midwife the rebirth of dying well. When she says dying well, what she means is a strong foundational understanding of how we carry the concept of death and dying into daily life. Her goal is to bring back death into the conversation and create an environment where death, dying, and grieving are all seen as ways to deepen our human experiences. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, where's a good place to start? Do you want to talk like a little bit about, I think it's always good to ground a bit. I always want to go straight into the, let's get a little bit of orientation.
Yeah. Do you want to do a breath work or?
I was just meaning more sort of traditionally, although if you want to guide me in some breath work, how do you like to do that?
Yeah, for grounding, I'll just do like Nadi Shodhana. Have you done it before?
No.
So I take my left hand and Guya Mudra, which is okay. Simple. Mm-hmm. I just relax it to my left hand side, right palm up, pointer, middle finger down. Sometimes people are like, I can't, but you know, just as much as you can. And then I block my right nostril with my right thumb. And then I just inhale through the left. Block left.
Eyes closed?
Yeah. I mean, you can even open just to watch me, but yeah. Then I block left with my ring finger and exhale right. And then inhale through the right. Block right, exhale left. And let's just do this for 60 seconds, one full minute. And just relaxing your right hand to your side. And just taking a deep inhale. Suspending your breath at the top. Imagine a tornado just swirling at the base of your spine. And as it swirls, it sweeps up gray air, gray energy as it sweeps up your spine, up to the top of your head, releasing it and exhaling, dropping your shoulders down. And just opening our hearts to this space, this sacred space. Asking that the highest good for all be channeled through our voices and our conversation, through our uniqueness, through our perspective that benefits the whole. Simply leaving the past behind you, saving the future for later, and simply just being here now. And just wiggling your fingers and toes. And coming back into our circle, our space.
Good. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really lovely.
Yeah.
Gosh, I need to meditate more. COVID.
All I've been doing. COVID.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Traveling.
I've just been like, I've been flying at my work, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'll just focus on that instead.
Yes.
The gray energy, you said a gray tornado of energy. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I just like to think in my mind's eye of like stagnant energy as kind of a gray in between kind of color. That's my visual for it. And so I just picture the tornado just sweeping up the spine and just kind of doing a nice little sweeping the porch kind of feeling.
Sweeping the chakras. Yeah. I love that. Little chakra cleanse. That was really good.
Yeah, it's a quick one, right?
It's a quick one. I've never had a quick one before. I feel like you normally have to lie there and, you know, doing a lot of receiving.
Yeah, I mean, those spaces are great too, but I've found that as we evolve and there's so many plates that we spin, you know, different times, like we yeah, those quick ones, it's like, whew, we need that quick breath work, quick release. And I'm finding that like those little meditations are so lovely and so paired nicely with my longer ones. They complement each other. Yeah.
I just saw actually on your Instagram that you have these guided meditations and, I'm only just discovering this 5D concept. I think, you know, many things I judge them for a long time as sort of, you know, too much hippie speak, and I can't go there. I was like, well, I'll never get into crystals. I'll never get into chakras. I'll never get, you know, one by one, the dominoes fall, the inevitable happens. Here I am. And I'm loving this 5D concept. And I'm wondering if you could actually describe what it is. What is 5D?
So, I mean, there's different levels of evolution in our energetic system. And so there's the 3D, the 4D, and the 5D. And you know what? Here, I have a chart. And I'll,
Amazing.
I like this chart because it's really simple. And it's a great book if you want to read it too. Hold on.
Okay.
So there's
no 2D. It just goes 3, 4, 5.
You know, let me see. I'm not going to pretend I knew all of it. Is that something that I'm really being introduced to through just learning about it. It's just reading this book. You go deeper and deeper into it. By the way, here it is, Fifth Dimensional Healing.
So amazing. Who's the author?
Yeah, Christina Martine.
Okay, got it.
Hold on. It has a description of the different Ds and how we're moving up them. Which is really fascinating, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But in the in the 5D, what we're really doing is we're merging with source consciousness. So if you think about it in these terms, and I can't find the chart, but if you think about it in these terms, evolution of the human body, throughout time, we'd kind of evolve to a certain point, and then we'd die, that, you know, and the human continues to evolve, right? And more things are discovered, and there's a time scale to it. Same with our energy. And I really believe that right now our energy is we're awake for this evolution. We're not dying through this evolution. We're really witnessing the merging of 4D, which is the awareness, which is the personal responsibility part of our, you know, who we are, really beginning our spiritual journey. And then the 5D takes us to this other concept of oneness.
Everything's perfect.
It's all oneness. It's no longer about your journey, although your journey is a huge part of the whole. The 5D is a really just another layer of the veil of us really merging with source. Communicating with source. We'll notice right now synchronicities are just like everything's leading everybody in a very like something's communicating to us, and it's moving closer to us. And the closer that it moves to us, the more that we're opening to like this other part of our energy, other part of our connection. We're feeling it, as I was describing to another girl the other day, you know, you'll be in a restaurant or somewhere and you'll be thinking a thought and someone that you don't even know just answers it. That's the merging. That's the oneness that we're starting to just feel in our natural everyday life.
It's the collective.
Yeah. And
the five must have been accelerated by internet. Don't you think it's sort of, I mean, we made it and it's making us, we're in this reciprocity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I definitely feel there's certain parts of our DNA that are activating at this time. Particularly at this time, as we're going into the 5D, there are certain parts of our DNA that have been, they don't understand. Science can't understand it, but it feels like in my awareness and when I tap into the intuitive collective and in the ways that I do, it feels there's definitely parts of our awareness that are coming online right now. And people are getting that spark to want to be of service all of a sudden. You know, they've lived this whole life and that all of a sudden something in them wakes up and that's all they want to do is be of service. And I think that that's a part of the full picture of the human experience, is to worry about what's happening with us first and then seeing it and evolving to like how big of a ripple effect we have on other people and future and how far that goes. And so I definitely feel that part of ourselves is waking up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that takes me straight to psychedelics because I feel like that's a massive accelerator in waking up. How do you see it?
A massive accelerator, opener. It points the way to remembrance in a very quick way.
and when you say, because I want to reach people who have not had these experiences. Right. Mm-hmm. So I know what you mean when you say remembrance, but I don't know if I would have known what you mean if I hadn't had my own journey.
Yeah. So remembrance is like this cosmic joke sometimes when you're under different psychoactive medicines. And it's a very interesting moment where everything kind of collectively makes more sense. You're like, oh, that's the joke. Like I've been searching, I'm the serpent chasing my tail. What I've been seeking, I already am. And it's like, you remember all the times in your life, sometimes through a psychedelic experience where things are shown to you of like, this is who you are. Remember these times? And so for psychedelics, it's been, for me, it's more about the visions that I see that have been super activating that I'm taking back with me and integrating. And once I integrate it, it's like, oh, I've always been love. I've felt so much love in this psychedelic experience, but now I'm remembering all the times in my life I was actually loved and I wasn't giving myself permission to feel it or whatever it is. So it's, for me, psychedelics kind of has a way of showing you maybe the times in your life that you've forgotten who you are.
Yes, I agree. I feel like it shows you where, and to me, this is sort of what I call the shadow work in it, is that you're shown where your, it's like where your blood supply is cut off or something. You've shown your own where you're separate.
Yeah.
And it might be a way that you're thinking about yourself, or it might be a relationship, or it might be sometimes like in ayahuasca, it's shown me how I hold myself physically. And I've had multiple messages about sort of needing to actually straighten my spine, and that being a kind of metaphorical thing, like I'm not living big enough, I'm not standing tall and proud enough in my own skin. And so lots of different different messages like that, and they can be confronting because it's not fun sometimes to see where you've been sort of cut off, I suppose.
Right. And it's interesting that you said that. I had the same experience in ayahuasca where the shaman came over and moved me up and he said, that's your power. And I was like, oh, and I felt like all of my strength. So I'm like, I've been holding myself like this. Like, I haven't. And ever since then, I sit up straight. So it's very interesting. Like, she's showing us the same thing.
exactly. So tell me specifically, what medicines do you work with and how?
The medicines that I work with on a personal level is whatever medicine's calling me for. So I work with MDMA, psilocybin, 5-MeO-DMT, DMT, ayahuasca, cannabis, and sometimes ketamine.
And that's it. That's it.
Sometimes ketamine, but ketamine and I have like a very like, you know, he's my distant cousin, and sometimes we see each other at Thanksgiving. Maybe.
I'm curious about ketamine. I feel it can go in both directions.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a whole. I want to find out more about this actually as I go on this journey. But yeah, let's stick with the ones that you're more kind of that have been your big teachers. And gosh, I mean, I feel a gravitational pull towards talking about 5-MeO, and I think I had a big experience with it. I mean, I don't know if there's a version of a small experience with 5-MeO DMT, but it's very much on my mind, and I think it's one of the reasons I found you. So, would you start by talking about what it is and what the experience is?
What
it could be.
What the experience might be. So like to humanize such an experience with our words, I feel sometimes just It's like trying to explain the color red to to somebody that's never seen red. You're like, but it's like this color.
Well, because you also, because with this one, you're touching on, I think with all of them, there's this, there's the mystical, there's the numinous, there's the ineffable, there's this, you know, what is that? That sort of contact with celestial realm. And how to talk about that?
I'll do my best to humanize the 5-MeO experience. But it's really just stand in awe in my experiences with 5-MeO every time. I'm just like, how beautiful. Like when I start coming online, I'm just in deep gratitude for this medicine that is showing me parts of myself, parts of other things, parts of my awareness. And it's just like, this is, I'm always like, that's what I come down to. It's just, this is so beautiful. Wow.
This being that this experience,
this experience.
That it gives
you, for me, and for me, 5-MeO, my experience is that when I first started taking the medicine and then to now has changed. I used to go to this place called The Void. Where it's just nothing, but it's amazing nothingness. I'm very happy in The Void. It's just this endless darkness, and I feel safe and I feel held, and it's kind of like a vacation from my body feeling. And then I come back into my body and I get a little bit of visuals and I get the feeling of the medicine, and if I'm in a circle, the people around me and feeling their love. And now my medicine experience is definitely turned into, I've reached another threshold, maybe another layer of it. And I'm just really going to this white light. So I've gone now from like darkness to this piercing white light that is the same love that I feel in the darkness. But it's just, I feel like I'm flying through infinity. And falling through it at the same time, with intention, without intention, and feeling supported. I just feel constantly supported when I'm in my awareness. I can say that 5-MeO definitely is a non-dual medicine, so it will take you to a separation from your body. I like to tell that to people, especially people who have never tried this medicine and now we're talking about it and they go try it and I'm talking, I want to let them know, there is parts of the experience that can be very disassociative.
Yes. And I'm just going to sort of take that separation from the body thing a bit further. I'll just talk about my own experience. So I've taken it a couple of times, each time I took it a couple of times, but I've taken it with different hosts. The time that I took it recently, I felt like it was very much a death experience. Mm. My whole body went into kind of what I associate with rigor mortis, but my hands were up. Like it made me think of a dead rodent, like on its back. Like my hands were rigid. My whole being was rigid. My jaw was locked open, which felt very much like death. Yeah. There was some kind of rattle came out of my body. I was like, holy fuck. And then it opened and it was like my spirit was completely released. And I saw something, experienced something that was beyond, I mean, it was huge. I think it's like the expansiveness of life that I haven't been able to really, I mean, I felt it, but somehow I saw it or connected with it in a way that kind of ripped the lid off my mind. And I'm just digesting it. And I think that there's something really extraordinary about being able to see those two places. And it's interesting, you talked about the two places that you've been going to, the very dark and the very light. I mean, it sounds like there's some history to your level of kind of acceptance and tolerance of both of these spaces, I think for me to see those two places on the same map, to see total contraction and total expansion, at the same time, I was like, what the fuck?
I think you just humanized 5-MeO. If we could just humanize it to contraction and expansion at the same time.
Yeah, I think that works.
And then everything else is your own personal experience, dressing that up, right? Like it's,
yes.
Yeah. I think that's
wow. Yeah,
I think we really touched on that. Like, there's something.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think we got some of that. And I'm just gonna just go over in terms of nuts and bolts what I.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Know about 5-MeO, and then will you tell me where I'm going wrong or what else I need to know? So I've heard about it as the caviar of ayahuasca, that it kind of, it's the best bit distilled, and unlike ayahuasca, which is a very long experience, mm-hmm. And can make you quite sick, this 5-MeO experience is very short, although mm-hmm. it's extremely intense. And I believe that 5-MeO comes from the back of a toad. Is that right?
No, kind of. It comes from the secretion of the Sonoran Desert toad. They have the glands here kind of like on the side of the head. And that's the kind of like on the side here. And that's what they secrete to get the medicine. I don't serve I do serve 5-MeO. I don't think we talked about that, but I don't serve the actual secretion from the toad. I work with something called, and I hate this word, synthetic or jaguar, which is just the isolated alkaloid of
DMT.
It's the 5-MeO DMT. Yeah, it's the isolated alkaloid of what is actually giving the experience. There's a lot of other stuff that's in the toad. A lot of other chemicals, just where the toad's bred, the environment, all those stuff plays a role into what is in their secretion and how much. But this is just the isolated alkaloid of the 5-MeO. Yeah.
So would that be also DMT? Would that be what I would know as DMT?
No. DMT, different. Totally. DMT is made from, you know, the vine, and it's totally different plant medicine. DMT, ayahuasca, totally different families and different experiences for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I know that you're a death doula, mm-hmm. and I know that you're a medicine woman. Mm-hmm. Do you help people actually transition with these medicines?
I do.
Wow. I can't wait to hear about this.
Yes. Yeah. I have never given anybody medicine as they're taking their last breath. I have facilitated medicine a couple of days before somebody dies. Or a couple weeks. It's usually within that range of where we kind of have, it's different when somebody's transitioning. They could be very aware one day and then they go into, different parts of their body, going through the dying process, and they might not talk the next day. You know, so I have like this little window of time, and it's kind of like one that I play with. But serving people 5-MeO DMT is what I do and during their times of transition. It is one of the biggest privileges I feel like I've been able to witness in serving medicine. I love to serve medicine to everybody that's interested in receiving this kind of healing for themselves. But there's something a little different when you're serving it to somebody who's dying. There's something else.
Tell me more.
One of the biggest differences that I see in serving somebody, will say, who's healthy and has the perceived, like they have more time on this earth, versus somebody who's terminally ill and they have a ticking time. You'll get the person over here who's here for the experience and here for the healing. They have sometimes a lot more fear, a lot more anxiety. The surrender muscle, they're just like, really dealing with all the fears that come up before taking medicine. I find that's usually the case at some point.
Sure.
And then versus somebody who's transitioning, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've never served anybody who's transitioning that was had any anxiety about taking the medicine. It's all walls down. I'm ready to take the medicine. And it's just like this firm knowing. And then when they come back to the other side, back to their body, so much of the fear I've witnessed of what it can be on the other side starts to get alleviated. That's what that is. I can release a little bit more control here in my body. If that's what that is over there, I can make peace with certain parts of my healing journey. You know, regrets, unfinished business are the forefront sometimes when somebody's about to die. Did I close, you know, this relationship correctly? Did I act implacable with my word? How did I live my life? Who was I? You know, and so this plant medicine sometimes has a very good way of helping them wrap that up or maybe just see themselves in a different way. Yeah.
Wow. So it's interesting to say people facing death are actually showing less fear around medicine. Is that because they are actually facing their ultimate fear?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been told multiple times by different people I'm facilitating, you know, there's a lot of contracts that I'm making with people when I'm saying, okay, I will be this person to serve medicine. And one of my things is I don't want to actually be the person that gives somebody the medicine as they take their last breath. That's, you know, it's something I'm just not comfortable with that space. But there's a lot that, that goes into the process prior to I'm consulting with their caregivers. I'm making sure that the medications that they're on currently aren't going to counter interact with the medicine that I'm giving them. And there's a lot of prep and there's a lot of care, that goes into it. That's a little different, but at the end of the day, that surrender muscle, that willingness to just, if I do go during this medicine, that would be okay with me. You know, they have that attitude with mm-hmm. them.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to die on medicine?
You know, I would want to do the medicine as I'm transitioning, kind of how I've served people. But I think I would want to be fully present for my death. And I don't... I'm really not you know, as I see it now as this healthy 38-year-old thinking of like what it's going to be, you know, down the line, but I do envision myself not taking too many medications for my pain. And really trying to go into this labor process as naturally as possible. Cause I do see it as a labor, just the opposite.
Right. It's fundamental transitioning. Who is giving birth to who in dying?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's the contraction and the expansion at the same time.
It's the five.
It's the five. Yeah. The 5-MAO, the 5-D. Yeah. The beautiful star of the five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a map of dying? No,
I've been given little glimpses. A map, no. I don't think we're supposed to. And so, like,
right.
the less that I relinquish trying to know exactly what happens when we pass, I feel like the more information comes through naturally. So I've had little glimpses of a tunnel, like a really vast tunnel, and it was like a half of a second after somebody had transitioned. I was like, well, that was a beautiful gift. Thank you for showing me that. You know, just seeing, and then the feeling when I work with people who are grieving, and then I also work a lot in the intuitive space, card readings, tarot readings, Reiki, you know, all that different energy. We're all intuitive, we're all psychic, but just really honed in on that muscle and really worked it. And intuitively, during different spirits that have come through, I just feel like there's a layer process. I don't know what that looks like, but some spirits feel very close and then some spirits feel like very far away and vast. I don't know how to describe it any other way, but some feel like they're right here in front of me and some feel like they're integrated into like the trees and they're speaking through like everything else. It's like a bigger, I don't know. It's just something that's more expanded.
Right. It's not just how we're surrounded by people. Some are near or some are far. Yeah. It's more complex than that.
Yeah, it feels that way. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it feels to me. And that's my one, the one perspective. But I mean, to have a map, I don't have one, but I feel there's something that happens on the other side. And there's, and what's come through a lot, as different spirits have come through, is they really want me to know, really want other people to know that there's still work on the other side too.
It's so funny. I just spoke to a psychic who said that. I'd never thought about that.
Yes. Yeah.
And that, but, and that's not coming back. It's not, that's not reincarnation work.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the work to get back into a body. I don't know if that's the work to get to another layer. I don't know what it looks like, but I just know they come forward and just, they're keep reminding, and I'm getting goosebumps everywhere. Mm. they've just been really coming through lately and saying that message, just so you know, tell people there's more work on the other side. It's not like how you think it is. I don't know.
I wonder how that thought can influence us. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it just like another thing about death to get worried about?
Maybe. I guess for, like, for me,
not only do I have to die, but I still have to also work.
But I think the way they describe work is how we describe work as maybe something like we have to do. But maybe they're describing it as the way that we can understand, like, hey, there's more things to accomplish.
More evolution, there's more growth.
Yeah. There's more stuff. Yeah. There's more layers. There's more things that are happening over here. And for me, that's very comforting because I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
All right. There's still an active part of the awareness that is beyond my body. And, you know, that is the root of human suffering. Is the idea that we are only this. If I know I'm only this, then I'm going to do everything to protect myself. I'm going to create a lot of decisions and a lot of stories to make sure that I never have to go and fully embrace death because this is all I have. And the way of that concept of really teaching me, like, this is, we expand, we're bigger than this body. And so that, to me, I find a lot of comfort in.
That's interesting the way that you kind of anchored the idea of separation in the body and the idea of having a body.
Yeah.
And I suppose pain is part of that.
Yeah. Pain is a great thing. People always
tell me about that.
Pain's not something I go for. You know, it's not my aim to be like, okay, today I want to feel as much pain as possible. But the acronym of pain is pause and go inside now. People go pain and suffering. I'm in pain now. I'm suffering. I'm pain now suffering. And if that's not the two that are married, pain is like, okay, how can I go inside of myself right now and really understand what this pain point is teaching me? What is the lesson in this pain? How am I bringing this pain to my awareness so I can heal something? It's like an investigative flag for me. Like the red flag of pain comes up. I'm like, oh gosh, okay, I've got stuff to do here.
So you slow down when you find pain in yourself? Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people who are transitioning too, you know, there's a lot of different meditations for people who have nausea. So if someone's transitioning, they'll just, you know, if they're super nauseous, they'll up the pain medication or up the, you know, the stomach medication to help them that. But when I come in, we start focusing on the mind. We start focusing on meditation. I start guiding them to their gut area. I start having them bring awareness to what stories are being told here. And you'll see their pain level go down naturally.
Mm. Yeah, because I don't think that even morphine works all of the time.
No.
I experienced someone having a very painful death on a ton of morphine.
Because that wasn't the problem.
Yeah, it was interesting. I actually want to tell you about this woman because she was my mentor and this has been my profound death experience that I've had. And so I had a mentor who was a very unusual woman. She was actually a psychedelics pioneer. She worked with Leary and those guys. She took a ton of acid. She was a brilliant woman. She had like multiple PhDs and she's really amazing, amazing woman. And she'd also... I don't know why her body was so fucked up, but it was fucked up. And she said it was from doing too much acid. It's very possible. Okay. She also had an attachment disorder. She was adopted. She never related to the family that she came into. She always felt very separate.
So she's very at war with her body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, she was in a state of war with her body, and she was, yeah, she was a total brainiac. She was someone who'd kind of completely out of the box. So I felt very lucky to know her, and she banged on about CBDs before I even knew what they were. And I was like, oh, she's just such a weirdo. Like, I can't. She's like, kiddo, you got to get into this business. You know, CBDs is the way forward. So I was like, yeah, sounds like weed. Sounds like something illegal. I'm a therapist. I can't, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, cut to, I'm bringing her CBDs in the hospital. Right. She's dying alone a massive amount of pain with no one there. Morphine. By the time I found her, it was a very sudden death, and I wasn't prepared for it at all. I couldn't recognize her. And the only sort of, you know, the good thing that happened, I guess in terms of our exchange, was I sprayed CBDs into her mouth, and I could feel her gratitude for it. She was like, yes. She didn't like morphine. She didn't like drugs. She liked, I mean, CBDs.
Right.
Work for her, and egg whites, you know, she was a very refined sort of situation. And so I had this experience of like, okay, here's this woman that I admire and I've had this unusual journey with, and she's alone and she's dying and she's terrified and she's in pain. And for me, it was my worst, it was the face of my worst fear.
Right.
All my worst fears combined, pain, being alone, being terrified. And I'm like, I just wanted to run out of the room. I was just like, oh, this is a fucking nightmare. And of course, I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. And I stayed, and I was like, okay, I've had a baby before. Let's go into that, because that's a pretty wild space. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, meet her like you would meet your baby who's coming, or, you know, when you're first connecting and the baby's crying and you don't know what the fuck it's upset about because you don't know where it is because this whole thing is so new. And so I went on this ride of sort of reaching into her, and, you know, I mean, it's so weirdly intimate. Suddenly I'd never touched this woman before. Suddenly my hand's on her head, and I'm finding this reassurance in myself, even though I'm in complete resistance as well. You know, I'm finding this reassurance inside myself to give to her in this place that she's going that I have no idea about. And it was really transformative to me. I felt like it was a real gift.
Yes.
To be there. And after that, she was with me for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, we were having full-on conversations.
Yep.
I could hear her voice. She was really around. It was very bizarre. And it was fun because she'd left her body, you know. Mm. She'd had such a struggle with her body, and she didn't feel that pain anymore. Mm. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. And you really slipped into what a doula does. The parallel between what a birth doula does and what a death doula does is almost identical. So you naturally just slipped into a death doula role.
Mm.
You naturally just went to like doula. I'm going to doula this, even though you were equating it to birth. Same thing. It's now it's the life being birthed somewhere else. And you went to, so she's very lucky to have you. Very lucky to have you in that space. You. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was great medicine for me, and continues to be, thinking about it. Yeah. And I remember as a kid, I used to be attracted to going to like to the old people's homes and like hanging out.
Yes, that's me too. And I've been volunteering in hospices since I was 11.
Wow.
And wanting to be around the old people, same thing as you, wanting to be around, really fascinated, wanting to be in morgues and like just witness the body, not touch it, but just like witness. There's something very fascinating about the end of life at a very young age for me. And that's actually kind of when really, I mean, if we don't talk about like the death of doulas. Through COVID, not being able to volunteer has been very difficult for us. Yeah, for people. I really enjoy that space. I get so much from just giving my time, doesn't it sounds weird to say, but just being present with people with no expectation at that. And that it's definitely, I've witnessed that close during COVID, and it's been like, oof, all right, well now I got to open this somewhere else. So,
yeah.
So it's been interesting, but yeah.